Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right, and we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Are you prepared to grow your business today? Stay tuned for what's about to occur. This is the Razor Sharp Show with your host, Ray Milodoni. Stay tuned as Ray invites business owners and entrepreneurs onto the show from all over the world to discuss how they are owning this economy and how you can as well. Are you ready to sharpen your saw? Here's your host, Ray Milodoni.
Hi, David. Welcome to the Razor Sharp Show.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Just on a family vacation at the moment, but always got time for you.
Love it. Always hustling.
Yeah, it always.
Share with the Razor community what you do and your business.
So my company is called Nocal. We started off as a community for small businesses, but what we've sort of developed now is a marketplace for small businesses to hire marketing and creative firms. And we're also going to be moving into the escrow payment side of things as well, so we can help small businesses pay each other.
Wow, excellent. And so what type of services can people find on the website? As a business owner, what can I turn to the website for?
For the website, just the community element and things like that, it's anything. Any service that you might need to start or build a small business. Right. And the marketplace model, we've just decided to test the waters with the sort of creative and marketing style firms.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, what we found during our sort of research into the whole thing was small businesses, startups, they tend to be pretty poor at prospecting and also briefing. So they may say, hey, I've got $5,000 worth of marketing I want to do, and then have no clue what they need to do after that.
Yeah, right. So people can come here and basically find all that. And is, I'm assuming, is it like on a low budget or is it premium services?
Well, we sort of targeting the jobs from about $1,000 to $10,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we found is if we go under that price point, we're sitting there, we're fighting with Freelancer, we're fighting with Upwork, we're fighting with Airtasker.
Yeah,
there's right. really no point. They're good sites. They do it well. What we wanted to hit was the relationships where if you wanted to meet somebody and have a coffee with them, that's where you come.
Yeah, right.
If you want to meet somebody in your local area. Yeah,
yeah, love that. So it's a step. It's that step up. And I know there's a lot of frustrations when people working on these other platforms for the fact that you can't meet up and have a coffee and that there might be some language barriers or you don't know how to brief them and so forth. So you fill that gap. And it's, I guess, a good progression through the entrepreneur journey and the startup. And is it just for startups or is it people who've been running businesses for, you know, big corps? Can they come on the platform as well?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody can come onto the platform. What we really wanted to do is we really wanted to give the smaller and the startup firms a bit more education. Like if you're a big corporate, you've got a marketing firm who know what to ask for. However, if you're a smaller sort of firm, you may have no experience in talking to an SEO or anything else, and that's what we do.
Yeah, love that.
What we really wanted to do was we wanted to more than just be a sort of marketplace in a higher price point, we wanted to be more the sort of tendering process for smaller firms. So bring a bit more thought behind it, bring a bit more education behind it, some structure to it. And that way, when somebody's filled out a brief, we then put it out to market and the market can come in and bid on it.
Mm, love that. Yeah, and so it's a bit of a crowdsourcing exercise as well where you're finding talent through going out to market with it and kind of finding the best talent for that task.
Exactly. And you know, the sort of benefit is that you get five or six companies who may come in and say, hey, we can do that. We've got experience in your industry. We've done this before.
Wow.
So it's like onboarding a customer much earlier.
Yeah.
And that's what we've found has worked really, really well so far. So we're working on that at the moment. We're going to test it in marketing and creative because they're the big sort of ticket contracts we've done before.
Mm.
And then obviously if the business model is transferable, then we see what other industries we can move it into.
Excellent, excellent. And how long have you been working on this project?
Well, this part has been about 3 months now.
Right.
So we got it all sort of set up, coded, did all the forms. I must have spoken to 25 or 30 marketing agencies to try and get access to their onboarding forms.
Yeah.
So I could have a look, just see if there are any sort of things that they always asked.
Yep, yep.
And now we've got it running in beta. By the time this podcast goes out, it'll probably be completely live.
Yeah, excellent. And I understand through your story and from what we spoke about before that there's been a little bit of a change in your business from what you thought people wanted initially into what the product you have now. Can you just go through that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we started the whole concept because I saw my sister's business struggle. And yeah, she was very smart. She'd worked in companies before, but she used the wrong PR firm. She used the wrong web developer, that sort of thing.
Right.
So it started as a way for small businesses, it's okay to be small and to find the better people for it. And what we found was we went the community route and it didn't quite work. I mean, we got 1,200 members pretty quickly. We've got over 1,000 of them are active, filled out profiles, communicating with one another, everything else. But it just wasn't enough. There just wasn't that sort of spark that we really wanted to see from it.
Right.
I think the best way I've used to describe it was like a year six disco. There were the boys and girls on each side, but nobody was dancing.
Yeah, right.
So that's why we sort of went back to the drawing board and thought, well, how are people talking to each other? How do they do it?
Yeah.
Let's help them dance.
Yeah. And how did you go through that journey? Like, did you have to let go of a lot of like planning and processes to make that shift to the new version to get everyone kind of dancing?
Yeah, it was a lot of it was accepting that your kid's ugly. Like nobody, we sort of had to look at it and say, yeah, it's good, but it's not quite what everybody needs.
Yeah.
So we really had to put those sort of biases, that love that we had for the product to one side and just be very, very clinical about it. This is what people want. Let's provide it.
Yeah, love that. And Razor community that's listening, I think it's very important that you do get to that point where you can just draw the line in the sand and make a decision that moving forward in a different direction is actually the best thing long term. And I know for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, it's a hard thing to do because you can get really attached to, you know, the way you explained it was perfect was the fact that, you know, you have to be okay that you've got an ugly looking child because, you know, no one wants to admit that, but sometimes that is reality. That was great. So thanks for that little chuckle. So let's get to know you a little bit better. How did you make your first dollar?
I made my first dollar cleaning floors and toilets at my parents' preschool.
Oh, love that. Love
so that was my first ever job. Kept that all through high school. Then when I was at university, I was either working in my parents' after-school care centers, looking after primary age kids, or delivering pizzas for Pizza Hut.
Yeah, love that, love that. And have you always had this burning desire to run your own business?
You know, it's funny because my parents were small business owners. You know, people normally say it's in the blood and everything else. But I did a good 10 years in corporate and I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, right. Excellent.
It just so happened I saw the writing on the wall that it wasn't something I wanted to be for the next 25, 30 years. And then almost fortuitously, my sister has her problem. I look at that and say, hey, there's got to be a solution to this.
Yeah, I love that. Entrepreneur of mine, problem solver.
That's it. Start with a problem, not a solution is what I keep getting told by people.
Yeah. And then solve it for the world. Perfect.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. And so is there a book or an audiobook that has changed your life?
Oh, anybody who is on the entrepreneurial journey has to get the Osterwalder books. The Business Model Generation, Value Proposition Design. I mean, they're just awesome.
Excellent, excellent. All those links will be in the show notes. So if you want to check out those books, I'll link you to those down below. Is there a time where that you felt defeated? I guess like let's talk about this journey here and maybe even going through your pivot. Did you feel defeated and what did you do to kind of bounce out of it?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be those moments where you really feel defeated. I was in the financial markets before I started this and we had a saying called the dead cat bounce, where even a dead cat can bounce.
Yeah.
So, and that's, I had a few of those. First of all, we used some outsourced software that just wasn't very good. And we just failed under scale. I think we were about 250 customers and it was taking 21 seconds to log in.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And that just rips your heart out.
Yeah.
It really does. You just feel like an absolute failure. And I had just brought on a, you know, a young kid all of 20 years old, straight out of GA. And he just said, give me 2 weeks. And he went and he did it. He fixed it all and bang, it was back.
Yeah, right.
It was almost just as simple as somebody saying, just stand away. I've got this. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. Fresh set of eyes can always definitely, you know, re-spark a business or bring new light into it. I think that's really important to bring the right people into your journey when it's needed. And it's funny because like your project that you have now almost does that as well. It's like it helps people find the right talent when they need it, when it's time to scale and so forth. So it's funny how that kind of leads into what you're kind of doing now as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, there's been a lot of pain on this journey and I hope all of it goes into the product.
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of alleviates everybody else's.
Love that, love that. So in your business and or even personal life and so forth, what's something that's like a small change that you've made that's had like a very big positive outcome?
I had a child a couple of years ago. That's been positive.
Wow, I don't know if that's a small change, but that's a big one.
Yeah. It gives you a real good sense of perspective and it gives you a sense of, you know, jobs nowadays are for a couple of years.
Yeah,
this kid is for the rest of my life.
Yeah, wow.
And that really just gives you that long-term view of, is this where I want to be in 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years?
Yeah, love that.
And that he having him helped me really sort of get that sense of perspective and focus. And I want to come home now.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I always wanted to come home in case my wife's listening, but yeah. Yeah, I want to work on having flexible hours. I don't want to be the guy who gets there at 7 and leaves at 9 at night just to prove a point to his boss.
Mm.
I want to achieve a sense of work-life balance. I want to manage my time better and more effectively. So he's been a massive, massive influence.
Perfect.
In
love
changing
that.
My perspective.
Love that, love that. So let's talk about the business a little bit more. What's the one thing in your business that you really feel proud about? Like that you really just feel like you're proud to say that you've been able to do that?
Do you know, I think a lot of it, like just the fact of I had no technical experience whatsoever and now I can sit there at a Fishburners meeting and chat tech with people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to get in the ditches and do the code, but the fact that I've learned so much in the past year and a half, it's like doing an MBA and a doctorate and everything else all in one.
Yeah.
So just the knowledge I've gained along the journey and yeah, there's always those beautiful little milestones like your first paying customer.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody passes their credit card over for something that you've created, it's pretty special. Yeah, 1,000th member. I know it's an arbitrary number, but it just felt special.
Yeah, yeah, love that. And so as you're going through your business journey, maybe even retell the story. Where were you when you got that first paying customer and how did that feel and did you have a team around you? What did that look like?
Well, I was on the bus on my way home and I'm a complete nerd for checking my admin screens about 80 times a day.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, I'm just checking my admin screens. Oh, 4 signups today. Oh, fantastic. Wait a minute. One of them's got the green tick. The green tick is premium customer. Oh, my Lord. So, of course, I'm just sitting there logging into Stripe, logging into ChargeBee. Yep, confirmed. Paying customer.
And,
you know, you're sitting there, you're like fist pumping in the bus and you feel like such an idiot, but you don't care.
Yeah.
Because you've just hit a milestone.
Love that. Love that. The green tick and you actually didn't even believe it. You had to log into the other ones to check it all out. Love that. Like, you know, reinforcement. It's like, and then you fist pump into yourself and everyone in the bus is going, crazy guys on the bus these days.
Never been so excited for $30 in my life.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that, you know, because a lot of the entrepreneurs that I speak to, it is always that story about the $30, the $5, you know, the $2 tripwire product that all kind of started it all. And it's those little things that, you know, make up and compound to where we all kind of are these days, you know, months or years along the track. So what's the plan? What's the vision for the business in the next, say, 12 months?
The plan for the business in the next 12 months is to really integrate ourselves into the design, marketing, creative services field and just make sure that we're hitting the right spots on bringing them the right customers and also make sure that the customers are satisfied that the work from end to end is getting delivered. Once we're happy with that, it's a pretty easily transferable model into other markets. We just need to know what questions to ask. And we would like to attack other overseas markets as well. I mean, the beauty of using so many sort of SaaS products in a startup nowadays is I only have to change a few lines on the Google API and I'm in another country, as long as I've got the business registered, we're good to go.
Yeah, I love that. Copy and paste.
In a way, it literally is. It's just, you put a select Australia, US or New Zealand, and pretty much, hey, we've got three companies now, not just one.
Yeah. The beautiful, of a SaaS product, you've got the code, you've done all the work, and you can kind of just very easily duplicate with a few tweaks. Love that. And so you look into break into different markets and go in different areas?
We would definitely like to see whether it applies. I mean, I've been talking with some people here. I'm on vacation. My wife's family, they're Icelandic. This product probably wouldn't work in Iceland because there's 330,000 people. There's about four marketing companies. They all go the same four.
Wow.
Whereas I think if we tried to apply it in the States or the UK, it would be completely different. So what we would have to check is that what we've done is applicable over there, or maybe there's just some other questions we have to ask. Maybe there's some other assumptions we need to take into the business model and just keep adapting, iterating, tweaking, that sort of thing.
Perfect. I love that, the exploring factor of it, because I think a lot of business owners will build a tool and try and tap into markets because they think that they need it and that the whole world needs it. And you're here sitting there going, well, I've gone into a country, I've seen how they operate, and it's a no-go zone. And making that decision is quite smart and saves you a whole heap of disheartenment as well down the track at some point. I want to go a little
time and money are finite resources as well. So, we have to manage them accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think time's even probably more, because once you use it, it's gone. Money comes and goes. So, perfect distinction there. I want to go deeper into the whole pivoting side of things. How much of the business did you bring over once you decided to change direction? Like, did you have to scrap everything and rebuild from the ground up?
We had to rebuild some of it. We had to make it more adaptable, more open. We had to change the design slightly because now we were emphasizing more things. We kept pretty much everything that we had before, but we had to move it into the periphery rather than the center.
Right. Okay. And did that take a long time? Was there a lot of additional resources or money to kind of do that?
Yeah, we had to additional resources. So first of all, start off with the designer. Make sure that, everything is still accessible and everything else. We didn't want to put it in a, graveyard somewhere on the site.
Yeah.
And then we brought on a couple of Aussie-based freelancers. They were great. It was just good to get sort of some extra hands on basically, so our one full-time coder wasn't sat there for the next 9 months.
Yeah, pulling his hair out.
Oh, absolutely. And if anybody's sort of listening at home in there, eyeing up whether they use an Aussie-based freelancer or an overseas-based freelancer, the fact that you can communicate on the same time zone is just amazing. You don't have to wait till, 1 PM before you can report a bug and things like that.
Yeah.
That's great. And, with things like the R&D incentives, it's perfect. It just opens up the Aussie market to you.
Love that. And did you change any name or branding, or you kept all the same name and so forth when you pivoted?
We kept the name and the branding because I think we're at a stage where we had enough customers that were engaged, but not so many that we really had to redirect ourselves. But if we had had a massive fireball failure, then we probably would have had to change the name and start again.
Yeah,
but seeing we're still relatively stealth, I mean, we had a good track record. We could just keep the name and keep the branding and just pivot the product.
Perfect. And since we're talking about the name, share with the Razor community what the name means.
Okay, so the name is Knokal. It's K-N-O-K-A-L. It's a mixture of knowledge and local. I sat there with a pad for maybe 3 hours just trying to work out the permutations that we could go with. Meanwhile, I had GoDaddy.com on my laptop, and I'm like, let's see, how much is that one? Not available. Right, let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
And eventually we came to K-N-O-K-A-L. .com. And I just I pushed the button, $15, let's just hold it. Let's see. It was a working title. And we never ever found one that we liked more.
Wow. So it was the working project title, and it stuck to being the final one.
It stuck to being the final. And then our logo is very basic blue, trustworthy, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then we have a little magnifying glass to the side. And we deliberately did it a different way than the search function and everything else is, because we were pegging ourselves as it's search, just done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we've got the magnifying glass. It's just the other direction.
Yeah, I did notice that because normally it's pointing to the right and this one's pointing to the left.
Cognitive dissonance. There you go.
I did actually notice that. I know that's probably my branding and marketing background coming through me. When I saw the logo, I thought, oh, that's different. That's quite clever. And it's just these fine little details that sometimes really matter and tell the story. And I'm glad that you shared that, because most people would just see past that and... even the fact that you spent 3 hours whiteboarding, I guess, or notepadding, what your business name can be. And in some regards, 3 hours whiteboarding that is probably a small time. I've worked with business owners where they've spent 4 months trying to think their business name. You kind of trusted your gut. You just purchased that domain name. It was only $15. And then it became the domain name and now it's your brand. So how fantastic is that?
Yeah, I would recommend that to anyone. I mean, look, if you're more than 50% on it, if it's $15, just book it.
Yeah.
Just cover it and then think about it later. Check the PTY LTD. Check if people like it. If you let it go lapse, it's $15. It's really in the who cares basket.
Yeah. The problem is when you buy 100 of them and never do anything with them.
That's it. You can sit on them and hope somebody else has your idea. Yeah.
I'm not saying that I'm guilty of that. I've started letting go of some domains. Got to a tipping point. Excellent. Well, let's jump into the raise round.
Yeah.
Who is someone who has been a mentor for you?
Both of my parents. Small business owners. I've had them around they've had small businesses since I was 5 years old. So both very, very different managers. My dad is the quintessential spreadsheet manager. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to set foot in his businesses. He just wants to see the numbers. My mother is the exact opposite. She's so detail orientated, it's ridiculous. She knows every staff member's name. She knows everything that's going on. She knows when everybody starts their shifts.
Wow. And is that working in the same business or separate businesses?
Yes, they own long day care centers and after school care centers, which is basically preschools.
Yeah, right.
And no, that's in the same business. My mum's in the office every day. I don't think my dad set foot in the center more than 5 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, love that. I think it's great when two different type of people come together and build a business where they have complementary skills that kind of work nicely hand in hand, as opposed to a lot of time people find founders or partner with people who are exactly like them. They're like, oh, we click, we're on the same page, let's partner together. And then all of a sudden, they both want to just be spreadsheet type of managers and no one's actually going into the centers, and then you got to hire someone or do other things to fill that gap, which is obviously not always the smart thing to do, especially when you're starting out.
Well, when I was looking for a co-founder, I actually wrote down where I think my gaps were.
Yeah.
And identified somebody I knew who could fill those gaps. And that's Nathan Knox. Him and I started the company together.
Yeah, right. Love that. Raise a community. I think that's a really good exercise to do is, write down your gaps. Be true to yourself, like that you're not good at something and go and find other people who say that they're great at the gaps that you have. And together that will make a very good, partnership. It's almost like the yin and the yang coming together. What is one thing that you know now that you wish you knew 5 years ago?
It's not what you own, it's what you create.
Boom.
So I was back in the financial services, making great coin, achieving absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it was nice to put the deposit on the apartment, but that's about it.
Yeah.
It never felt fulfilled. I never liked talking about it to people. It was just somewhere to go. Now I feel a lot more fulfilled. I feel a lot more encouraged. I have more energy.
It's a very powerful thing. David, because my story is a little bit the same. I was in corporate and I did the whole thing, dropped it all, making good coin, and people, would think, oh, you've made it. And unless you're feeling fulfilled, it's such a big gap. And you're right, it's not about the things you have and materialistic stuff. It's about what you've created. And that beauty to kind of say that I've created this thing or this product. It can be anything, a book, a movement, anything, a podcast. And that's kind of what I did. So I completely get that. And it's people, you need to be fulfilled. And unless you're hitting that, it's what are you doing it all for? And no money or assets can ever fill that gap. What is one thing that you wish you could change in the world right now?
I don't know how political we're going to get. I wish things weren't veering so far right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just xenophobia, racism. I hate it.
Mm.
I can't stand it. You look at what's happening, not so much Brexit, but definitely in the United States. There's a movement in France. There's just Austria just recently just voted out a far right. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I don't like that the fact that the world is moving to this very xenophobic, nationalistic, almost localistic sort of environment. I am much more a citizen of the world, and I love interacting, that sort of thing. I think the next 20 years are going to be very interesting, because even though my business sort of deals with people dealing locally, it's about going and having a coffee with somebody. It's not about being fearful of the other.
And I think it's a time where and not to go too politically either, but it's a time where, you know, the internet has enabled no boundaries. There's no borders on the internet. We can do business with whoever, whenever. There's no time even. Like, we can be working right around the clock. We can be in two different parts of the world and do a podcast, you know, seamlessly. So, you know, the governments and the politicians, they fear that because they've lost a little bit of the control. You know, and you're right, they want to bring everything back to local. They want to kind of, you know, in Australia this week they announced that you know, a lot more of the torrent sites have been blocked and things like that. It's like, you know, they're taking all the control and away from the people, and it's not a great movement. And I agree that next 20 years is going to be very interesting to see how we all react to it.
Mm.
David, what's a website or an app that you need to visit daily to survive?
Slack.
Okay, excellent. And why is that?
I just love it. I just love the fact that every interaction I have with anybody in my business is in the one place, and it's easy to find. You know, I don't have to go through Skype, Facebook Messenger, iMessages, email, Gmail, that sort of thing.
Yep.
If it's not on Slack, it doesn't exist.
Never said, never happened.
Yeah.
Excellent. And do you use Slack for a lot of different, do you use it for personal and business, or just is that your business world?
Business, I've got the NoCool channel, I've got my freelancers on there, I've got the people doing my marketing on there, I've got, you know, all my staff on there. And it's good because you don't have to sit there and play the CC game and hope that somebody sees the message.
Yeah.
Create a new room, put your freelancer in touch with your developer, start.
Love it, love it. And have you been an early adopter of Slack? Have you been using it for a long time, or you just kind of jumped on?
Probably picked it up about a year, 18 months ago. So okay.
Yeah, fairly young.
I think it was pre-unicorn.
Yeah, perfect.
When I started having a look at it, yeah.
Yeah, love that. I think it's great when you can actually start building businesses around these new apps and tools, because they change the flow. You know, you don't have to have as many meetings. You don't have to have as many, you know, whiteboard sessions. You can just do it all within a Slack channel, and you're kind of always hustling business forward, as opposed to stopping everyone's productivity and running meetings and so forth. So, you know, I'm a big user of Slack and Trello, and those two tools are what I use.
I love Trello.
Yeah.
Love Trello.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so satisfying just to move a tile to the side.
I know.
And knowing that it's complete.
Yeah.
Just those little things get you through the day sometimes.
Yeah. For the Razor community, you know, I think that's a really good thing, and I'm smiling heaps because that's the feeling I love as well, is when you grab the little tile, and if you don't know what Trello's all about, you have to go get it, and you drag the tile across from your doing list to your done list, or, you know, it is a good feeling, and I love that. And sometimes I put tasks in that I've already done just to have that feeling to go, yeah, I was going to do that, and now I've done it, you know, because I want an archive of all the things that I've done. So, you know, which is, yeah, that's great. I love that. Thanks. So what's something that you've moved off your Trello list today? Normally I ask what you've crossed off your list, but I know you use Trello. So what's something you've moved off your Trello board today?
Well, technically I'm on holiday. So if the wife sees me on Trello right now, she'll kill me.
Okay, let's
She knows exactly what to look for, but we're using Trello at the moment for a lot of bug tracking.
Okay, yep.
So, you know, yeah, you see a bug, like something's not quite right with mobile responsiveness. You do a screen grab, you throw it on Trello. You wait till it gets moved over.
Yeah, perfect.
So I've seen quite a few of those get moved over today, which I'm quite happy with.
Hush, hush. We'll keep it secret.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the best bit of business advice you've ever received?
Do you know what? I'm going to execute the bad language clause.
Yeah.
And this was my dad who said it to me. He said, sometimes you just have to say, ah, fuck it, and just do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can sit there and you can be paralysis by analysis all day. But sometimes the power of just going, you know what, I'm just going to try it.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Like that's been some of the best advice I've ever received, because you can sit there and just sort of constantly question what you're doing and everything else. But in the startup space, you know, try, fail, quick.
Mm. Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So sometimes you just have to go, let's just give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's change that button. Let's move it over. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's swap the way that the icon looks, just.
Exactly. And sometimes those little victories they get you through the day, and you could sit there and just go, oh, that's increased button by 4%. Look at me go.
yeah. Love that. And I've been alluded to a new acronym, which is just JFDI. And I look up, and people who are not on camera won't see this, but I've actually got it on my wall, and it's just fucking do it. So, I love that. And that's my new theme for the new year as well. So, I think unless you're doing action, you're doing things, you're just sitting still. And, you definitely have to keep always doing things. And who cares if most people don't like it? That's where some of the best ideas come from.
Yeah, exactly. And, you've just got to test, and be willing to go, well, that was a waste of 2 days. All right, on to the next one.
But at least you know that. Otherwise, you keep sitting there going, what if, and that what if thinking will exhaust you, and you haven't been able to park it aside, and I think that can be long-term damaging, which is worse than just hustling for 2 days and go, oh, well, I wasted 2 days, great, but it's better than exhausting yourself for the next 3 years thinking, what if I just made that 4% change to that button, and you'd always be wondering, that's more exhausting, I think.
And it'd sit there in your Trello list, not moving.
Yeah, that's right. Getting all stale and aged. If someone was to write a book about you, what do you think the title would be?
Well, what's Peter Thiel's book, From Zero to One? Could very easily be From Zero to Zero, But I Had Fun in the Interim.
I love that. Zero to Zero, But I Had Fun. Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. And that's great, and I think that's a great way of kind of, it is about the fun. Business should be fun. I was on a Facebook page the other day, and it's like, if you're in business and you're not having fun, then what the hell are you doing here?
Go work for somebody and let them carry the risk. Well, I've got a mate, he works for a bank. He's perfectly happy because he's got a band. Mm. His band is what drives him. So the bank job, hey, it just pays his rent, pays his car, that sort of thing. And the band's what drives him. So he's perfectly happy that way.
Perfect. And that's a great, to use a full-time or part-time or casual type of role to fund the lifestyle that you kind of want. If that's what fulfills you, and like having a band, maybe sometimes musicians don't always make, great coin, but if that enables you to do that after hours and on weekends, and everything's safe and secure financially, then that's a great lifestyle as well. And no one says you have to go out there and hustle hard and build your own business or join someone who's else's business that you can help with, which is great. So apart from Trello and Slack, do you have any other productivity hacks for the Razor community? Like, how do you stay productive?
Okay, I only answer emails at 10 to the hour.
Okay.
So I hate email as a general rule, so I have alarms that come up at 9:50, 10:50, 11:50, etc. That's when I check emails.
Wow, love that tip. And every hour all day, or just during work hour periods?
During work hour periods. Yeah. I try not to check email if I can outside of hours.
Yeah, right. I love that.
But yeah, I use that one. The other one I do, which I spend an hour a week looking at grants and awards. So a lot of people want to get involved in the startup community at the moment, all these little programs that they're going for. So I just spend an hour just having a look, can I nominate myself for this award? Is this corporate wants to partner with companies like me? Should I apply? And just that little hour just gives you that edge about what's out there, and rather than a scattergun approach, I'm hoping you see a Facebook ad.
Yeah, love that. And so what does awards and grants mean to you? Like, do you think that and where do you go to find these things?
You get involved in all the sort of Facebook groups, like Sydney Startups is fantastic. I quite like business as well. That's great for small businesses. I got my wife to join Like-Minded Bitches Drinking Wine.
Ah, yeah, cool.
So I log in as her. I really like the little community that they've set up there. It's very supportive. It's also very informative. It's just about sort of just getting into these groups and hearing somebody say, hey, I'm doing this, or can you nominate me for this, or vote for me on this? And then I'm like, hey, I want to be voted for on that. I'm going to go join that too.
Yeah, love that. And I think, a lot of small businesses don't realize how many awards and nominations and so forth that they can apply for. And sometimes you don't even have to win the award. I'm not being weak here, but just being a finalist to an award is something that you can kind of brag about, or runner up. There's some amazing things that you can do to kind of badge onto your website or onto your brand that can help you position yourself as a different level, or even in your own mind, to think bigger business as opposed to being a small business. It's not just the big guys going for these awards, startups, and there's probably a lot more startup awards and funding and grants now than what there ever has been.
Yeah, well, we were finalists for StarCon's Bootstrap Startup of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that on the website. Yeah, and you put the logo and it looks great.
Yeah, fantastic. And it's just lovely to feel that validation from your peers.
Yep.
And that's what I consider StarCon to be. You know, a great group of people, they run a great event, and they think we're worth their time as well. That's fantastic.
Love that.
It's just another thing that sort of keeps you progressing.
Perfect. Love that. Love that. Well, David, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today and hanging out. I know the Razor community will get so much value out of all the things that you have shared today. So thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you for your time.
No worries. And how can the Razor community find out more about you? What websites can they visit?
Well, they can visit us on www.nokal.com. They can find us on Twitter. It's Nokal, K-N-O-K-A-L. D-O-T-C-O-M, so nokal.com. You can follow us on Insta and add me on LinkedIn. I just love chatting away to people, so anybody who adds me will get a response.
Perfect. David and the Razor community, all those links will be in the show notes. Razor community, until next time, stay sharp.